This is Pure Decking number 320 for Thursday, August the 3rd, 2016. This is the show about things that interest me, like information technology, the reign of the offended, and giving up hope. I'm Morps. And tonight, what am I drinking? I'm drinking Corsair Spiced Rum. It is good. Developing a taste for that. Fox Wolf, what are you drinking?
I'm going old-fashioned. I'm good at Tom Collins tonight.
Nice. Nice. Madman, what are you drinking?
Flat Tire Amber Ale.
Cool. Are you? Are you back yet? We will assume Are You is drinking a very large bucket margarita.
Or the tears of the innocent.
What do you think he made the margarita with? So
got me there.
My air conditioning just went out, so wouldn't be decking if I didn't have something to gripe about, right? Ah, fuck. So, I don't really have any station news. This has been the week from hell at work, so obviously I haven't gotten anything done at site-wise, but shit happens. So, go ahead, and I realize I forgot to drop the article for the discussion into the various here, so... That only half an hour late due to trying to figure out what the hell was going on with the AC before giving up. So Tripwire has this article up here that dropping USB drives in parking lots still works.
In other news, sky is blue, water is wet, and end users are still retarded.
Yes, but it's fun to point out. So the article here says, plugging in USB stick you found laying around the street outside your office could lead to a security breach. This is no secret. We have all hopefully been aware of the dangers of inserting unknown USB devices in our computers for some time. Heck, the technique was even on Mr. Robot. But what may not be widely known is just how successful the tactic can be for allowing hackers to compromise your computer systems. So they did research at Black Hat. A researcher gave the presentation. They dropped 300 USB sticks on the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus and measured who plugged in the drives. Of the drives dropped, 98% were picked up, and for 45% of the drives, somebody not only plugged in the drive but clicked on the files.
Nice.
So that's a 50% win rate. And all of the drives were picked up, so some of them are going to get plugged in, later after outside of the time of the test there. So
stay stupid, people. Stay stupid.
Seems folks just can't resist picking up USB stick they see lying around. Berzian says it only took 6 minutes for the first device he lost to be picked up. He was curious as to whether or not there were ways of influencing the likelihood of someone to plugging in a found USB stick into a computer. So there are 5 different types of sticks scattered across the University of Illinois campus. Drives labeled exams or confidential, drives with attached keys, drives with keys and a return label, and generic unlabeled drives. One would like to imagine people are less likely to plug in a drive if it is clearly labeled with the owner's contact details. So the keys and a return label, 29% were plugged in. Just the generic drives were at 45. Drives labeled exams and confidentials were plugged in to 50%. And the ones attached to keys were plugged in 53% of the time. So on each type of drive, files consistent with USB sticks appearance were added. So private files were added to the USB sticks that were unlabeled or were attached to keys with a return label, business files, sticks marked confidential, etc. In reality, each of the files is an HTML file containing an embedded image hosted on the researcher's server. So that's how they were actually tracking it, is they were just looking at the logs of people hitting this hidden image file. So, yeah. He didn't do anything terrible with them, but he could have. over two-thirds of the upon opening HTML files, users were asked if they wished to participate in the survey, asking why they plugged in the drive. Approximately 20% agreed, and perhaps by the promise of a gift card for their assistance, they had to bribe them.
Wow.
Just over 2/3 of people who responded to the survey said they accessed USB 6 with the intention of returning it to the rifle owner.
Bullshit!
Excuse me. 18% admitted they were curious, and 14% gave other explanations. Was there a check mark?
Looking for porn.
Was there a checkbox mark blackmail?
That's racist.
Why would you ever check a USB stick from a non-air-gapped machine?
Because you're stupid. Now, from a security point of view, it's worth recognizing that a security breach could have already happened at this point. The most basic and simplest to conduct attack would have been to put malicious code in the HTML file that would have automatically activated upon viewing, downloading malware, blah, 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 blah. He was even... So then he goes on talking about camouflaging keyboard spoofing devices as USB sticks, and they even have some pictures where he looks like he hot glued. Oh no, that's a resin mix. Looks like he put a resin mix, put a Tensy inside of a flash drive using this resin mix. So yeah, even in the chat room they're all saying what? No, plug it into a Raspberry, plug it into anything but a real computer. So. Yeah,
it's not just me. Everyone has a test bed, right?
Oh, sure. You got to have the throwaway hardware. I mean, and I don't mean a virtual machine. Virtual machine is great for checking links on a website or something like that. I mean an actual laptop that if it catches fire, you're not going to be upset about. Actually, I have two of them.
I've just got my one little one.
Yeah, just an old netbook's perfect for this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Plug it in, see what it is. If the keyboard starts going on its own, that's even funnier.
Oh, that would be awesome. Like it's ghost typing. Oh God, the USB drive is possessed.
So, actually, Psychros
me a rare Pokemon.
Psychros is going. Raspberry is the most cheapest throwaway machine you can get, and it actually gets better than that because of what I have in Dojo for the Raspberry 3 today is pretty good. So, yeah, it's. Now, I wish he had done the same thing with. I wish he would have done a similar experiment with SD cards, because I'm willing to bet those would get plugged in way more than the 50% he got on flash drives.
Like, I wonder if they took nudie pics.
Exactly. SD cards are for cameras, most or your phone, so people are going to think there's going to be something on them. I bet they would have gotten plugged in way more than. Just flash drive.
Especially if they were pink.
Or you could label it photo shoot with the name of a model. if you really wanted to go for broke.
Yeah, but that's getting too odd.
I don't know. What about you, Fox? What do you do with flash drives when you find them?
Like as a burner box. I used to just fucking run a side box that I had. I was done.
What do you
do?
Are you?
I did find an SD card once. Unfortunately, I did not have the adapter required to read it unless I wanted to plug it into my laptop, and I was not fast.
Yeah. I've actually found a couple of SD cards back when I was working for the school, and just why not shove them in the netbook after I unhooked it from everything? And usually it's just somebody's trip or something. Stupid, no way to identify the card, so they just go in the lost and found. It's like, well, whatever. But, never anything malicious. But, that's what the netbook was for, man, was just doing stupid shit like that. Actually, my netbook's my router right now. Switch it out for a better box sometime when I do that. I'll have it for that very purpose again. So, I haven't decided if I want to put Windows back on it or not.
They started charging for Windows 10. We were
wrong. I'm surprised. I kept expecting them to extend it. I don't know. You have any fun measures you like to take when you find a flash drive laying around?
Yeah, it's got a little laptop. It's air gap. No wireless card in it. So it can't automatically detect anything.
Physically remove the Wi-Fi? Yeah, that'd do it.
Yeah. Just to be on the safe side, man. Better nuke it from space, you know? And that's pretty much my travel book as well. Like, plays all my games and stuff, and Dude, anything happens to that, I don't give a flying fuck, man. I will just boot and nuke and restart.
Yep. Actually, Madman, given the I know where you work, don't go into details, but yeah, what would they do if they caught you plugging a flash drive in, whether you found it
They'd in the park fire
or
you.
Not? Yeah. On the spot?
It is an auto fire. You cannot plug anything in. We had somebody who wanted to charge their phone from the USB port on the computer like an idiot. Luckily, he was stopped before he was fired. And then we got to ask him why he had his phone out. Because ever since somebody decided to take a selfie in front of a screen with some information on it, those have been banned. Never underestimate the power of stupid people.
What's the average income at this place you work at? That's the bit that pisses me off.
And now, it's included in our mandatory computer security training that we have to take every year. Don't plug random shit into the computer. Don't take selfies in front of displays. Oh god, I feel myself getting dumber every time I recertify. But I have to certify, or I can't work. Which, if you're... People are stupid, so I can see why they're doing it. It's like, we have to educate the stupid people. But yeah.
You try to idiot-proof something in the end, you're a better idiot.
You don't plug anything into any of the computers at my place of employment.
You know, I'm half tempted to just order a stack of flash drives now.
I know, you've got me getting itchy for it too, Morps.
And fishing? I don't know what y'all do as far as security reviews. Our security department fishes us actively.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore since my 100% success rate twice in a row.
Oh. That's sad.
And I know where both you fuckers work, and this is making me very, very anxious.
Well,
Artie's literally in half mask.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny in my case because I was decided to craft a good phishing email as opposed to the stupid ones. I mean, yeah, we send out the stupid ones, and those get about, I don't know, 3-4 people out of 25 will open one of the really dumb ones. But if you happen to know some of the services that are in use, because, you know, you fucking work there, and you know how to craft a really good phishing email, it's kind of not fair. But it's not data that... The thing is, that's not... It wouldn't be that hard to figure out, what eFax services some companies use, what mailing services some companies use.
If you know the company, certain companies, there are only so many vendors that provide that type of software for the industry.
Does a company? I'm not allowed to impersonate Salesforce anymore. Okay, that's the one that really got me in trouble.
But if I'm going after you, your system, what stops me from impersonating them?
Nothing.
But
I
don't understand hobbling the pen test. You know what I mean? There's no boy. Well, you can't go after those servers because they're essential servers. You can only go after this. You shouldn't hobble security, man. Fucking stupid.
Well, you're going off the assumption that these people understand how security.
You see, it's the ostrich head in hole symptom. If you're not shown the problem, you can't be held responsible for it later.
Wow.
But there is a term called willful blindness.
Our lawyers would like to remind us that that's not a thing.
The prosecutor argues otherwise.
I've had this conversation with our lawyer. His exact words.
It's because I only ever look at my left hand. I didn't realize I had a gun in my right.
His exact words were, "Don't worry about that." He literally just said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And the guy's the guy comes a big guy, and he comes across like a mobster. Like, we got a mook for a lawyer. Yeah, don't worry about it. I mean, it's just like, oh, fuck.
We got you on that one. You just go ahead and do your everyday work.
Yeah,
get on with it.
That was kind of the conversation, actually.
You leave that up to me. Me and Vinny, we take care of that.
Like Saul. Saul's got a strategy for that one.
Yeah. Just go back to your terminal. I got this.
All right. Let's, I figured that'd be kind of short, but let's move on. First article I have for current events tonight is from Ars Technica. A report by Reuters, or let's piss off Sard. Not Sard. Sard's not the one who gets upset about this. It's Suave gets upset about this.
No, it's me who gets upset with this.
Oh, you get mad when I say Reuters?
Not Reuters, motherfucker. It's Reuters.
I know it's Reuters, but it's fun to say Reuters. Like, what are you doing to that? What are you doing to that router? The what? The router. Oh, okay. Yeah. A report by Reuters suggests that the FBI was aware of a possibly Russian-sponsored intrusion into the network of the Democratic National Committee as early as last fall. But investigators from the FBI only initially told DNC staff they should be on the lookout for strange activity on their network. If the FBI says you should be on the lookout for strange activity on your network, shut it down. Turn it off. Cut the internet lines. And the feds didn't mention a potential state-sponsored attack until they informed the Clinton campaign in March about a phishing campaign. Unnamed DNC staffers told Reuters Mark Hosenball and John Walcott that the FBI has been investigating a potential intrusion into the DNC's network since the fall of 2015. After the initial warnings to look for anything suspicious, DNC IT staff checked network logs and scanned files, found nothing suspicious. They're obviously not off-citing their logs. When asked to provide more information... So, okay, people, when you're setting up logging systems, you put an agent... the easy way to do it, you put an agent on every system that forwards the logs somewhere else, you know, immediately. Not like it batches them up and copies them at night, not that you're going to get an email with them the next day. I mean, when a log line is created by syslog, you can set syslog up to do this, it's not that hard. Every time a line is created, a copy of that line is made on your logging server. That logging server should be separate from all your other servers so that somebody can't go in and fuck up your log files without it being really obvious that they've done that.
Okay, now Morps has told you that way. Don't do it that way. I enjoy it a lot better when you don't know I've been there for at least 2 weeks.
Weeks? That's cute. Most of these places don't know that. When you're waiting for the FBI to say, oh, by the way, we've seen all your data floating around, you're far too late. Okay? The FBI is not an intrusion detection system.
And why are they looking at the DNC? That's a private organization. They should be making sure the government's secure.
Well, they fucked that up, so they figured they'd get in early on the next round.
Okay, but so long as they have a reason.
Isn't this story complete bullshit, though? It wasn't Russians?
Well, it gets even better, and this is why I wanted to read this article. Not only the fact that they're doing logging and not finding anything. And then here's the money line. When asked to provide more information to help identify a problem, the FBI, quote, declined to provide it, quote, according to the Reuters report. In other words, because the FBI wouldn't tell them what it was, they threw up their hands, said, oh, well, it must not be anything, and went on with life. It was not until March that the DNC IT team realized the severity of the intrusion in their systems, though Reuters did not report what triggered their realization. That would be the emails showing up in the news. About the same time, the FBI reportedly warned the Clinton campaign of attempted attacks, a phishing campaign. Whoopie fucking do. Wait, these are politicians, and they're not that bright. They will click on this shit, won't they?
They're going to label it a Trump's attack plane on Hillary.
Oh, okay.
Everyone clicked on that shit.
Spear phishing attacks were detected in March and April.
Five secrets to win you the nomination.
Ooh.
GOP parties hate it.
Spear phishing attacks were detected in March and April against DNC and the presidential campaign organization of Hillary Clinton by the security company SecureWorks, as ours has previously reported. Part of the reason why the attack may have persisted for so long was that the DNC may not have had much in the way of a security team to begin with. Much of the technology work for the websites, fundraising, and field support for the DNC, as well as the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is provided by outside organizations, including NGP Van and Act Blue. Several sources ours have spoken with said there was little in the way of an internal information security team at the DNC prior to the intrusion. Well, most people have to be hit in the face before they learn to keep their hands up. So
the DNC just got hit in the face. The entire DNC resigning, I think the next group are going to have a security team.
Despite being aware of the possible breach in March, the degree of access that the hackers had wasn't clear until June after the DNC brought in the security firm CrowdStrike, and other experts to assist. For more than 2 more months, the alleged Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear threat groups purportedly associated with the Russian intelligence agencies were allowed to continue to siphon data out of the network and to spread. After detection, the Fancy Bear group apparently reestablished its intrusion on the systems of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, hacking a web server and redirecting would-be donors to malicious websites. Yes, you give me your money. It go to Clinton. We make sure. It'll be good. It'll be fine. It's not clear how widely the DNC staff warned the rest of the committee staff once the breach was discovered. It's also not clear if anyone understood what was going on. A May email from one DNC staffer noted warning messages of a possible state actor hacker for Yahoo email despite frequently changing passwords. That's called a keylogger, and they put him on the machine. FBI spokesperson refused to comment on the Reuters report because of the ongoing investigation of the case. So, the part about this I love is because the FBI didn't tell them anything, they decided nothing must be wrong.
Nothing's wrong. Everything's good here.
One, it's not the FBI's job to secure your shit. It's your job. Two, somebody gives you a hint that something might be wrong, and when they're not going to come forward and do the work for you, you say, oh, well, nothing here, and you go on. Well, the DNC got their bloody nose out of it, right? So, I mean, we could get political and talk about, oh, the Russians released these emails, so they're trying to interfere with our elections. Well, they've never actually said that the content of the email was altered or not true, so whether the Russians released it or not, those emails were there hacked, so there's that from the political angles. I don't really want to get into politics, but
let's just say this has all the legitimacy of a Turkish revolution.
Does anybody else have anything to add to this? Because I just kind of like poking fun at this. I actually had somebody at work shoot me the job posting to the Clinton campaign IT security position. It was up on Indeed, I believe. And they were looking for a security expert. I'm like, well, and then we were joking about it because one of the line items was to identify potential security risks. So I was just going to walk in, point to Clinton, and say, can I have my check now? And then I went over.
You put an unsecured server somewhere, ma'am.
And it's like, you know, on one hand, it'd be kind of fun to apply for the job, but I think I would make it all of 5 minutes before I was dragged out into the street and shot. So,
here's a list of things you can't do and remain secure.
Yeah.
One, we can't put the server where you keep your tampons.
And two, everything else that's wrong with your politics. I don't really want to do politics, but it was funny as hell.
Did you rename her firewall the Iron Meat Curtains?
Nice.
And you're fired. If it weren't for the fact that most political campaigns pay dick, I might have seriously considered it. But no.
Dude, you wouldn't get past HR's fucking questionnaires.
Oh, God, no.
And the probing. Oh, God, the probing.
Like, so we see here that you've been registered as both an independent and a Republican. What would you say your current political leanings are? Oh, libertarian. Sir, the meat grinder is this way. If you'd kindly step inside.
My current leanings are, I want money. What do I have to say to get this job?
I am a corporate mercenary, ma'am.
I'm in favor for.
Anybody else have anything on this before we go on to the Windows flow?
Did they ever actually nail down who compromised the DNC?
No, nope, they're just going to blame the Russians
but I was just assuming they were wrong.
A lot of stuff I've read, man, it looks like they imploded on themselves.
I'm that just looking for Ricky Lakes to actually release some of the, more of the contents of the email. They say they have tons of it. I'm thinking for my birthday, they're going to do a dump just because that's where every surprise comes out.
Well, most of the time leaks like this come because you have a disgruntled staffer who's either keeping copies of things or they accept some cash to let somebody else plug a flash drive in or something like that. So I would imagine it's probably from a disgruntled staffer who let them in. It could have been they let the Russians in. I mean, you know, intelligence agencies are, you know, you always hear the stories about the dignitaries who go to Russia and, you know, the string of prostitutes that go to the door, and if you keep saying no, eventually they start sending the boys. So it's just like, damn. But, you know, you read about that kind of shit all the time. So I wouldn't put it past them to go to a staffer who's, you know, not happy or feels like they're being mistreated. Maybe a Bernie supporter in the DNC, you know?
That's what I'd be betting.
And being like,
well,
you're going to lose. You know, we'll give you $1,000 if you plug this flash drive into your computer when nobody's looking. I mean,
so do you think the delegates actually have access to any of the mainframes? Because I think that's the only Bernie camp that, you know, could have gotten anywhere near it.
No, but they have staffers and interns and volunteers through the thing all the time. So I would imagine that they, because they're mostly talking about setting them up with emails and access to shared files. So I don't know, if I was the DNC, the way I'd set it all up is stuff like an Office 365 account. You know, you lock that shit down pretty well.
Dude, those Google Docs. Those campaign areas are so busy. Could have been just someone walked off the street wearing a fucking button that says Clinton. Sat down.
Yeah, you're not wrong. They probably could have just wandered right in, sat down in the terminal.
But this wasn't Clinton that was hacked, it was the DNC.
Well,
so it's not either of their camps. They don't get really access to the DNC until after there's a nominee. Now, I could see someone from one of Clinton's past campaigns, because the DNC isn't just the presidential campaigns, it's also anything that did she would have had access to with her senatorial campaigns and stuff like that.
So well, I could see for all a we know, past somebody, staffer. For all we know, somebody lost an iPhone in a Starbucks with all this shit on it.
Oh, or was sitting in a Starbucks on an unsecured wireless connection and something.
Well, I mean, we.
In form of sheep that.
We keep assuming it's some high tech, you know, somebody did some social engineering, got a keylogger on there, got into the system. You know, it could have just been somebody lost a laptop. I mean, shit.
Happens more often than you'd think.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could often. Be a man in the middle of the local Starbucks.
Starbucks has actually made that just slightly harder. Now you usually have to spoof the AP to do a man in the brick. Used to be you could just connect and do the ARP spoofing, but that didn't work as well as it used to. Now everybody kind of ends up in their own subnet.
They've also banned the watching of porn, filtering it now. You can't whack off in a Starbucks.
Watch me.
You're just not trying hard enough.
Well, you're not going to go to the library porn. Again? I mean, you could whack off to the, I don't know.
Well, it depends on the Starbucks. I mean, you know, some of the especially in the summer, some of the people walking through there, I mean, it might as well be porn.
I'm going
Holy
to the
shit,
wrong Starbucks.
Earlier today, man.
You want a latte?
Earlier today, I went into Starbucks and a couple of guys from work, and we didn't think that girl was wearing pants until she bent over, and we realized, oh, she's wearing Daisy Dukes that are very, very short.
I'm glad you were there to check very closely.
Well, I didn't get the camera out
in
time,
a...
so, you know.
A thread on creepy shots today?
Heavy no.
Well, it was more just surprised that somebody was walking around without pants on. It's like, shit.
Well, it is America.
So.
Fuck yeah.
Anyways. Okay, I did post this. The next article is from ZDNet. Microsoft will not fix Windows flaw that lets hackers steal your username and password. This is not as
that's a clickbait title
that.
If I've heard.
Oh yeah, no shit, right? It is an interesting flaw, though. So a previously disclosed flaw in Windows can allow attackers to steal usernames and passwords of any signed-in user by tricking the user into visiting a malicious website. But now a new proof of exploit shows just how easy it is to steal someone's credentials. The flaw is very widely known. It's said to be almost 20 years old. It was allegedly found in 1997 by Aaron Spangler, and was recently resurfaced at the 2015 Black Hat Annual Security Conference. So the flaw wasn't considered a major issue until Windows 8 began to allow users to sign in with their Microsoft accounts, which links Xbox, Hotmail, and Outlook, Office, Skype, and everything else Microsoft has bought and hooked into their ecosystem. Overnight, the attack got larger in scope, and now it allows an attacker to conduct a full takeover of a Microsoft account. The flaw works because Internet Explorer and Edge on Windows 10 allows a user to access local network shares but doesn't fully block connections to remote sites. To exploit this, a hacker has to trick a user into visiting a specially crafted web page in Internet Explorer or Edge that points to their own network share. The browser will then silently send usernames and hashes to the network share to see if it can log in automatically. It's the single sign-on stuff, right? If the passwords are weak, they can then be unscrambled and used to log into user accounts. So what they're doing is they're forcing the browser to connect to a file as though it's a network share, an SMB share, on a local Windows network. This is an old trick. Because and most people were assuming that your ISP was blocking, you know, port 445. And if it's not, and most home routers aren't because they're only, you know, only blocking inbound, not outbound, could potentially connect to an SMB server out on the internet. And the first thing Windows does is it tries to log in as the currently logged in user, so it doesn't have to display a nasty password prompt every time you go to a network share in your office. So they can capture the username and the password hash, and of course the IP you came from. And once you have the password hash, especially if it's a landman hash, into any number of brute forcing tools, and if it's not particularly great, they'll crack it in a few minutes. If it is particularly great, well, it depends on whether or not they built a decent rainbow table or they have a GPU rack, you know. So, I don't know. Fox, were you aware of this attack? Fox has gone AFK.
Sorry, I just got back. Sorry.
Oh.
I only missed part of that story.
So, there's Internet Explorer will still try to connect to SMB shares out on the internet if you go to a webpage.
Right, because it's a piece of shit. No one should be using Internet Explorer or Edge or whatever the fuck they try to call it today.
Yeah, and that is
because a shit
answer
by any other name smells just as bad.
That is the correct answer. So, I thought it was kind of funny though.
It's also one of those in news that shocked no one. Internet Explorer is, you know, wider open than a cheap whore on Oriday.
Well,
on
let's
Oar
just
Island.
Oh, right. Chrome and Firefox aren't affected, but there is a thing to point out with the Internet Explorer browser. It's the engine it uses. So if you are on Office and hit a web page or Outlook and it has embedded HTML, it can still happen. Chrome and Firefox users aren't affected. A Microsoft spokesperson suggested the company would not patch the flaw. We are aware of the information gathering technique as it was previously described in a paper in 2015. Microsoft released guidance to help protect customers and, if needed, will take additional steps. In other words, Microsoft says, you know, learn to do a firewall. Yeah. It's like, learn how to firewall, dumbass. That's what they wanted to say.
Use Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah, use Firefox. Or seriously, don't browse the internet on Explorer, please. I mean, seriously, just don't. If you have family that you cannot convince not to use Internet Explorer, take the Internet Explorer shortcut, point it to Chrome, change the name to Google Ultron, I mean, Internet Explorer.
And reinstall Adobe.
And for God's sake, put on Windows 10.
So anyone want to guess what the default browser at my workplace is?
That would be Internet Explorer 9.
And how many things do we do in web apps?
That would be all of them, sir.
We're almost
there. You're not fun to play this game with.
Yeah, that would be because I actually know how most companies work, and they're still running IE9 because the government won't. Anybody who has to deal with the government figures out very quickly they don't update their shit. You still have to use IE9 because it's the last browser that works with some of those websites. We have the same problem. We got around it by wrapping up IE9 and VMware.
Yeah, my place of employment is not the same, episode. We were on 8 for a long time now.
At least you finally got off 6.
Yeah.
I mean, your work is related to healthcare. I mean, for God's sake. I mean,
you'd be surprised how many of the vendors are the limiting factor on this.
I would believe it 100%. And it's like, yeah, we're just not going to update that old Java or ActiveX code. We're just not going to do it.
It'll well, be enjoy fine. Your HIPAA lawsuit, but you know, whatever.
Yep. Next article.
But on that one, could they argue? But the Department of Human Services wouldn't let us patch our system.
Well, there is somebody trying to sue the government right now for copyright violations. So I don't know. We'll see. I didn't think the story was all that interesting. It was actually last week. They're using the DMCA to sue the government, trying to get the government to invalidate the law. So, kind of a neat trick, but I don't expect much to actually come of it. Next article is from Torrent Freak. Report: operating systems should actively block pirated downloads.
Why?
Because the RIAA want other people to do their work for them. Apple, Google, and Microsoft are in an ideal position to deter piracy, according to a new report published by Black Market Watch and Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Controversial report opts for voluntary or mandatory blocking. Yeah, it's voluntary, all right, because if you don't do it, we're going to make you do it. That's voluntary. Or mandatory blocking of pirated content on the operating system level. When Windows 10 was launched last year, rumors spread that the operating system was equipped with a built-in piracy kill switch. According to some reports, this would allow Microsoft to nuke all torrents downloaded from the Pirate Bay and more. A scary outlook, but also a massive exaggeration for now. The controversy originated from a single line in Microsoft's service agreement, which allows the company to download software updates and configuration changes that may prevent people from playing counterfeit games. Technically, this allows Microsoft to block people from playing pirated games across Windows 10 and other services, but there is so far no indication that this is actually happening. However, this week, the issue was highlighted again in a report published by Black Market Watch and the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, which made several recommendations on how online privacy could be tackled in Sweden. While most of the media attention is focused on the role of ISPs, there's an even more controversial post that has been largely overlooked. According to the report, pirated content should be banned at the operating system level. Other players...
Since no one else will be our police for us, we're going to make you do it.
Yeah, basically. Other players that possess the ability to limit piracy are the companies that own the major operating systems, which control computers and mobile devices such as Apple, Google, and Microsoft. One of the main conclusions reads, the producers of operating systems should be encouraged or regulated, for example, to block downloads of copyright infringing material.
How do they know it infringes a copyright?
Well, they're just going to assume everything does. Oh, is that a .mp3? Copyright infringement.
But I have permission to download that .mp3. Big made it. He wants me to listen to it.
We put out the show, we put out Pure Decking in .mp3. It's Creative Commons. I mean, what do I got to do? Flag it that it's safe to download?
Yeah, until some company decides to file a random, you know, patent troll.
Takedown request, yeah. We're claiming that content. You're reading our news articles.
Yeah.
Like, it's called fair use, dumb fucks. Read the law.
And it's not, that's something that I know for a fact that our good friends at Fry's Electronics would never do to us.
We'll keep using your name until you pass the stump.
The report references last year's Windows 10 controversy, noting that these concerns were great enough for some torrent sites to block users with a new operating system. While Sweden doesn't have enough influence to make an impact on these global software manufacturers, applying pressure through the international community and trade groups may have some effect. TPP much? Sweden's ability to influence this as a single state is small, but it can take action through the EU and the international community. Copyright holders can also play a role in promoting this through international industry associations, the report notes. For now, it's unlikely that the plan will become reality in the near future. No shit, Sherlock. Today, Swedish ISP Benhoff responded to the report by saying it doesn't want to act as piracy police, and Apple, Google, and Microsoft are not going to be happy with the role either. However, it's clear that the anti-piracy proposals are getting more extreme year after year. That's because they can't win. So they keep trying to find somebody else to go after to do the work for them because they don't know how to handle media distribution. They built their entire model around the idea of physical media distribution on a disc that the government says you're not allowed to copy. The fact that all media has gone into general purpose computers that at this point you put in your pocket, they have no idea how to deal with that. So, Madman, what do you think?
I'm just wondering, how can they do that without just saying you can't download things onto your computer?
Well, they think it's magic. They think that the programmers can just shake their dick and chant at it a little bit, you know, shamanism, and you know, it'll magically happen that way. Because I get in this argument with people at work who don't understand what I do, and they think it's fucking magic. It's like, your systems just know. No, they don't just know. It's not magic. There has to be something to flag it.
You have to tell them, don't let this in. So if you're saying, don't let MP3s in, well, what if I'm buying stuff from, I don't know, the Apple store, and I'm just buying some... I don't really buy albums on their software, but whatever. If I buy music from them, I can't download the shit I just bought? I have a Netflix account. I can't stream from the provider that I'm paying money to?
But it's the same old argument of basically they want to shut the internet and general purpose computing down because it's inconvenient to their business model.
They want to make it like a pay, you know, what do they call it? What's that shit people we used to have in their house still do? DirecTV and things like that. You buy certain packages.
Yeah, you're only allowed to have the content we filter for you.
Even with that one, I bought the package. I have Netflix.
Well, see, Netflix is not an approved provider. You're only allowed to get data through the content that we have discerned through you so that you can be programmed by the God Box. You're accessing unauthorized content, which has then therefore been deemed pornography. And
hey, wait a minute. I can't beat off to a lot of this shit. It's not porn.
No, it therefore violates your listener's license.
Yeah, there it is.
Please assume the party submission position.
Only if they'll be cake, motherfucker.
That's cake. When I return to the big blue room and just go, fuck it.
That's what they want. That's the sad part. That really is what they want. We have to control all media to make sure you're not stealing from us. Asinine thing.
I just want people to know what they're asking for. Like, do you know what you just asked me to do?
Madman, this from a world that's generating a whole new group of people who want segregation again, and what's the other one?
They don't want free speech, that's for sure.
And they don't want free speech, and that's considered progressive.
Yeah, you know, the shit that people, you know, we've had entire armies die for. Yeah, no, they don't want it anymore. It's just...
And democracy is just so old hat. We need to change.
People can't be trusted to vote, right? I mean, Britain just voted to leave the EU. Obviously, democracy is broken.
Yeah, and so...
Imagine what they're going to say if Trump wins the election. My God.
One thing I want to point out. None of us have ever lived in a democracy. Democracies are broken. We live in republics.
I like mob rule. It's very easy.
Mob rule is horrible. You want to know why mob rule is horrible? There's only one Bill Gates. Let's all vote to take his money and give it to, I don't know, all of us. Wow, we just outvoted his ass. Property rights don't exist in mob rule. It's terrible.
Alright. Next one up is from the WashingtonPost.com. Did you know that in some parts of the country, internet providers such as AT&T offer a special deal on broadband prices? These plans lower your monthly payments, but here's the catch. To qualify for them, you have to agree to let the carrier track your web history, search activity, and other valuable behavior data that can then be used for advertising purposes. Comcast is telling regulators it wants the flexibility to offer these types of plans, too. In a meeting Monday with the Federal Communications Commission, officials from the cable company argued that it and other internet providers should not be prohibited from tracking or trading discounts for data. The meeting comes from the FCC as the FCC considers how to handle new privacy regulations to internet providers in an attempt to ensure that consumers get privacy protections online similar to those they receive from phone companies. Most of us agree to give up our data in exchange for using online services such as Google, Netflix, and Facebook. Cable and internet providers say it's only fair for them to compete on the same playing field. So Comcast is arguing that they should be able to charge you more for not letting them track you. I mean, that's...
Because we weren't evil enough already.
Okay, in all seriousness, that's what they're saying. They're saying, well, we should be able to offer a discount if, you know, users let us take their data and track it. But this is Comcast. They don't have a history of lowering their prices. So what they're going to do is jack the rate up and then say, if you want to keep the existing rate, you have to let us track all of your browsing and usage data.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm fine with that.
So, I mean, this just means I'm going to make sure I'm never not using the VPN, but it's just...
Yeah,
so
yeah.
On Comcast, so.
In other news, you know, VPN traffic skyrockets for some unknown reason.
It's their business. They should be allowed to do it. I just don't think municipalities should be able to say Comcast is the only company you can go through for your high-speed internet.
Well, and that's the problem. You don't have a choice.
You reduce the monopoly holdings that they have. Hard.
And yeah, the solution to that is for your municipality to stop issuing a monopoly.
If I had a choice of 5 or 10 ISPs, I wouldn't care if one or two of them was charging cheaper to do tracking. You know what I mean? Or 4 or 5 of them, as long as I had the option of one that didn't, if I didn't want to be tracked. You know?
Or on the one that's tracking, you do have the option of paying more to not be tracked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you also have to, like, put your trust in the fact that they're not tracking.
That they're actually honoring it, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is going to be the other thing. It's like, nope, don't feel like paying for that. Yeah, well, since all your data goes through our servers anyway, that's technically ours, so we're going to take that anyway. We're still going to charge you out the ass for your service because you didn't agree to let us take this, but that's not going to stop us.
You're making us work for it. So,
now,
you know.
That one would be fraud.
And Comcast.
Yeah, they don't exactly have a spotless track record when it comes to treating people fairly. So, let's see. Next one up is from Ars Technica. The FBI violated the Fourth Amendment by recording more than 200 hours of conversation at the entrance to a county courthouse in the Bay Area, a federal judge has ruled. Federal agents planted the concealed microphones around the San Mateo County Courthouse in 2009-2010 as part of an investigation into alleged bid rigging in public auctions for foreclosed homes. In November, lawyers representing 5 defendants filed a motion arguing that the tactic was unconstitutional since the Fourth Amendment bans unreasonable searches. The government utterly failed to justify a warrantless electronic surveillance that recorded private conversations spoken in hushed tones by judges, attorneys, and court staff entering and exiting a courthouse, the U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer wrote in an order published yesterday. Even putting aside the sensitive nature of the location, defendants have established that they believe their conversations were private and they took reasonable steps to thwart eavesdroppers. So here's the thing. If they, instead of planting the microphones on the courthouse, what if they'd used directional boom mics?
Yeah. You mean, like, so they collected data without people's permission? Did they charge them for it?
What a surprise.
They collected data in a public place. Without people's permission. You have to throw that in there.
Breyer concluded that the disputed evidence must be suppressed, and at hearings next week, he'll consider whether the recordings tainted the rest of the prosecutor's case. The FBI began its investigation using a co-operator who agreed to wear a wire at several auctions. They recorded his conversations with the 5 defendants. Well, this is normal. What's the big deal here? An undercover agent posing as an investor also wore a wire and made audio, and video recordings. Those techniques don't require judicial authorization. However, at some point, the defendant's relationship with the cooperating sources soured. According to the FBI agent testimony, it became typical behavior for the accused men to walk away from a larger group and hold conversations separately from the informant and from the undercover agent. In other words, they were on to them. The FBI adopted a new technique. Agents bugged the courthouse. With hidden microphones, they collected more than 200 hours of audio over 9 months, capturing the conversations of anyone who entered or exited the employee entrance of the courthouse. The FBI never sought judicial authorization for this program. Agents planted small digital recorders known as a Knowles EM23069. The devices, small squares that measured about 1.5 inches on each side, were specifically designed for law enforcement. Devices are planted in a sprinkler box, a planter box, and a backpack, in addition to two unmarked vehicles parked about 30 feet from where the auctions took place. In his order, Breyer noted that the FBI recorded private conversations between members of the general public, including two women discussing details of their personal lives that ranged from the private to the salacious. What were they doing? Comparing cock sizes or something? It also captured a... salacious, right?
Everything is the best discounts on 100.
Yeah. It also captured conversation between a San Mateo Court Superior Judge and a county prosecutor who discussed caseload, the quality of attorneys appearing before the judge, and the request from the judge that the prosecutor not blame his deputies for certain events. Well, you know, if you're talking about this shit outside of the courthouse...
That's public. So they weren't bugging the inside of the courthouse?
It's unclear. Certainly around the entrance. Expectation of privacy. The legal question boiled down to whether the defense had a reasonable expectation of privacy in their conversations, and after 3 days of evidentiary hearings, Breyer found that they did. Four of the five defendants submitted sworn declarations saying they believed and expected their conversations outside the courthouse were private and confidential. You know, if it wasn't court people, you know, court officers of the court who were being recorded, would they have ruled the same way?
Like,
if they planted
so.
Bugs on my doorstep, I mean, you know, they've been putting trackers on people's cars.
They've already ruled that you don't need a warrant to videotape people in public. They're in public. They're on public land.
So the article here goes, it's possible to have a reasonable expectation of privacy even in a public place. The judge cited one case in which a police officer had an expectation of privacy in his office even when the door was open and a records clerk was 15 feet away. Another case directly acknowledged that two federal judges may have a reasonable expectation of privacy in a hushed conversation on the courthouse steps. Really? The defendants also spoke in quiet tones, discussed private affairs. Well, that doesn't matter. And took affirmative steps to protect their privacy, all of which weigh into the argument. So,
yeah, did the DOJ... affirmative steps involve them leaving a public place?
So,
would hold more water if, like, they bug internal courtrooms.
Yeah, I don't know.
The outside stairs, I can kind of see where they're.
It's definitely gray. Because, I mean, yeah. I can see where people think that they're being private, but they're actually public. So,
I mean, how many conversations can you sit in, like, in a restaurant and, you know, you overhear snippets of, like, man, do you think I'm going to find that buried hooker in the desert? You know, the shit that you didn't really want to know about, but you found out about anyway. And now imagine that, you know...
And then they removed the gerbil. Yeah, we've heard that also. We've all heard that shit.
I mean... I've been walking around a courthouse saying things and almost get shot by a cop.
That
I
was
had
hilarious.
No expectation of privacy.
Was
it
Aloha
in
Snack Bar?
No, it's even better. He was talking about how he was the perfect person to have with you when you robbed a bank in front of a cop. Well, technically, we were behind the cop, but which made it even better. But man, did he give you the death stare. It was hilarious.
No expectation of privacy.
Yeah, I totally have an expectation of privacy when I'm standing directly behind a police officer. You have anything on this one, are you?
What's that?
Not even paying attention. I was going to say, did you have anything on this one?
No, it's like, listen to these talk about this. It's my life going outside, man. It's like having microphones on everybody. I hear every fucking conversation. Like, it's terrible. I don't know why the cops would want to listen to it anyway.
Same reason I gave up reading other people's email. It's mostly pretty damn boring shit.
Or it's just shit you wish you hadn't heard.
You know what sucks is when you think you get the report that somebody might be copying a whole bunch of confidential data off of their laptop, and you go look, and they've been writing novels. And it's like, fuck, I just broke into their machine, and I'm sitting there looking at their trashy romance they've been writing. I didn't want to know this. I didn't want to see this.
Their trashy My Little Pony romance.
Ugh.
I didn't read that much of it. It might have been.
Pony fan fiction.
I just, you open the document to see what it is, and you're like, oh, they're trying to be... Yeah, this looks like fanfiction.net shit. I didn't want this. Nobody wants this.
Shit, I'm out.
You go in the boss's office and like, yep, it wasn't anything of ours. Oh, what was it?
You don't writing, know.
They were writing romance novels. Really? Did you read any of them? What? No. Can you get me a copy of them? No! Why?
Like, can I or will I? Those are two different questions, and the answer to both of them happened to be, well, one's no, the other's yes. I'll let you assign them. But you're still not going to get a copy
of
this.
Can I, will I, how much?
It gets down to, it's like, oh, did you get a copy of them? No. Why? Do you have a checkbox that says blackmail? Next story up. Did I throw the link yet? Yeah, I did. Okay. Next story is from ZLTI.com. A couple of days ago, or at least a couple of days ago from when the author started writing this, CRN did an article on Ed Harbor, the illustrious VP for IBM's Watson Group. They gave a talk where they talked cognitive computing and this conspicuous thing called dark data. The term dark and anything rolling around in digital comes around, it's not so nice things pop into people's heads, mainly things about dark and deep webs, blah, 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 blah. Dark data is the information assets organizations collect, process, and store during regular business activities but fail to use for any other purpose. For example, they're not doing analytics or monetization with it. So it's unused or unprocessed data that's collected. So, like, you know, we were complaining about Microsoft and Google and you know, everybody collecting all your data. Well, apparently, all this data they're collecting, like 80% of it is just stored. They just don't do anything with it. And it's 80% of the stored data is dark data, and you know, the rest of this is full of marketing crap. This article is kind of hard to read out loud. Even if you aren't the CEO of a startup or multi-billion corporation, more likely a casual real stone bad news. So we have to look at the numbers. The New York Times says that 90% of the energy that it's used by data centers is waste, and IBM says that 60% of data loses its value almost immediately. So in other words, they're generating all this data, storing it, and then analytically they're going, well, like 60% of it is useless after it's been, you know, like a day old.
That was like my job on a day. So, run this report, it's super important. Never looked at the data again.
It's interesting because it kind of goes to a point that we've made multiple times that, yeah, they're storing all this data, but they're not doing jack with it. But now IBM is saying, oh, well, Watson can start going through all of this for you. And that's what the article really is. It's a big ad for Watson saying you can let it, you know, start churning through this data as it comes in. So it's not dark data, but...
Do you want Skynet? Because this is how you get Skynet.
Well, you know, not only that, but... so, you know, right now, if they're only doing... You know, if they're not processing most of this data... Well, one, it's kind of funny because if you don't use an ad block and you look at the ads you're getting, you know, it's like you go buy something on Amazon and then the next six ads you see are for the shit you just bought. It's like, well, I don't want to buy it again. And, you know, of course you start running ad block just because it gets annoying. But if they're actually mining all of this crap, like all of it, I mean, what's that going to look like? What's that going to do? Are you actually going to get targeted advertising that works? Or are they just going to, you know everything about you?
It's like, now.
It's like, we have managed to piece together your bank account numbers, how much free space you have on the hard drive, and we're currently making purchases on your behalf of things we think you need.
They've already done that, piecing together metadata off people's phones.
I know that, but I mean, if you have a system automated to the point where it's just, you know, you log in one day and realize you bought a $5 app because, you know, Watson said to, it's like,
did Watson pay for it? That $5 was going on something else, damn it.
So, I don't know. It's just interesting that, you know, the stats are like 80% of this data is not being used for anything, and more than half of it loses its value right away. I thought the stats were interesting. Now, it's also advertisement for Watson, so they could be exaggerating. Much of it's not used. But generally, given how often I get disk full alerts at work, I'd believe it. You know?
I don't know. It does kind of lead you to the whole, like, you take it down the Sean Kennedy dystopian future. Like,
you buy this thing,
the corporation says you need this thing. Yeah, don't buy this thing. You're a terrorist.
I used to listen to a podcast Suave turned me on to. Escape Pod. They would read fiction. And in one of the stories, they'd have short story authors on and read it. I quit listening to it a while back just for time, really. But one of the stories they did was a dystopian future that was set about 5 years after they discovered how to broadcast directly into people's brains, because they took the advertising systems, piped it into it so that ads were constantly being force fed into your mind. Like, you had no choice in the matter.
I would force feed myself a shotgun at that point.
Well, that's what people, and that was the story. It was people were doing that, and you had like the malls were in ruins. It was total zombie dystopia, and you had people who had no agency anymore because the mind control and the advertising. They were still going to where the malls were trying to buy shit, even though there was nothing there. Because, zombie apocalypse kind of shit, right? And the story was following somebody who was going to try to shut it off. And, the ads screaming at them the entire time, trying to lead them away. And the system had somehow
become self-aware.
Probably.
It was
the Walmart.
The shitter, like, or whatever it was.
You know what I mean? Like, here's step one. We're going to actually process all this data we're collecting. Step two, we're going to figure out how to broadcast it into your brain at all times. Step three, we own you.
Yeah. Like, huh, that's an interesting browsing history you got there. Would be a shame if your boss was to get this.
Yeah. So, we've been looking at your browsing history. Your health insurance just tripled. And we found you a good proctologist. Wait, what? So... All right, last article I have for today, which I honestly wasn't sure I was going to do, but then Fox joined the show, and I thought it would be fun. this is from blog.emojipedia.org. If that name doesn't want to make you suck, start a shotgun.
Yeah, talking about targeted ads in your face. Come the fuck on, really?
Somebody opened the article. Apple announced a number of changes to their emoji set this week, including a better representation of women, single-parent families, and a pride flag. Many of these additions were met with a mixed reaction. Well, no shit, they're taking political sides here. But none has generated more feedback than this. They have changed the pistol emoji to a squirt gun.
Well, they are a bunch of Apple using faggots, so, I'm not really surprised.
The
failings.
The pistol emoji has changed from a realistic looking gun in iOS 9.3 to a bright green toy water gun in the iOS 10 beta. In the history of running Emojipedia, the author has never seen an emoji change so poorly received, and this isn't even from the hands of people yet, it's only a beta. Feedback for the change falls into broad categories: ridicule, disinterest, snark, frustration, concern, and anger. How dare Apple take away our gun emoji?
They're violating our emoji Second Amendment rights, god dang it.
Basically. changes are always bad. But, the thing is, this emoji set is sort of a pseudo-standard among a lot of the messengers, like Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, the Android and Microsoft systems also support the same emojis, even if the icons are a little different because they've been redrawn. So... if you're on an Android and you send somebody the gun emoji and they're on an iOS, they're going to get a squirt gun emoji. And if they're on iOS and you're not, they might think they're sending, they might have somebody who doesn't know that it used to be a regular pistol and now it's the squirt gun. So they think they're sending you something about toys and then it's a gun. It's like, oh God, are they threatening me? What the fuck?
Hey, I think we should get this for your kids. I think they'll really like it for summertime.
You want to get him a revolver? They're four. It's like, well, I guess maybe a 22. Yeah, so then it goes on. But now the conclusion in the article sucks. Because Apple's, you know, their suggestion is Apple not to change the pistol emoji, it's to hide it. Yeah, it's like, oh, just get rid of it. Just take it off. Nobody needs guns. Really? What, are they worried that a pistol is going to be triggering?
Yes, pistols will be triggering. They have triggers.
The butt of Tish found.
I think we need to bring messaging back to decentralized applications so you don't see this kind of bullshit. Back to the original Skype shit where it's like you don't have any control over it. You know, the old school Skype when the feds went to it and said, we want to be able to wiretap this, and they're like, fucking how? And Microsoft said, we'll buy it. And,
we'll buy it and then we'll fuck
then
it
we can tap it. Yeah.
It's like, we'll buy it, force everyone through centralized servers, and then we can tap it. And now it's replaced Link as Skype for Business. I know this from work.
It's, and suddenly their market Skype share drops significantly for some reason.
Yeah.
You wonder why.
All right, let's move on to this. Yo! Hadouken! Sorry, my emoji went off.
prematurely, I might add.
It was unexpected. I was cleaning it. So, this article is from RaspberryPi.org. They have announced a new version of the firmware for the Raspberry Pi 3 that enables booting from Ethernet and USB storage. So, for the Raspberry Pi 3s, you can now boot from a flash drive. So, if you have, like, you still have to, of course, have an ARM-compatible OS on there, but you can actually boot from an Ubuntu flash drive as opposed to having to, you know, go through the SD card setup and all that. And the really cool one is Ethernet booting. So you can actually PIX boot a Raspberry now, which means doing things like Raspberry cluster suddenly gets a hell of a lot easier. And you don't have to worry, because the big problem I have with Raspberries is we run a fleet of them because we use them to run digital displays. And the SD cards in them die, like, a lot. And partly it's because we're buying shitty-ass cheap SD cards because, you know, well, we're financial. We don't do anything that costs money. And, you know, it kind of gets old having to replace these things all the time. But, yeah, if they just netboot, well, fuck, who cares? It all runs out of RAM. So, now it's a beta firmware, and it's up for the next batch. But pretty much they're just adding some new boot modes so that you can boot from flash and Ethernet, which I think is going to make the Raspberries a lot more useful from a personal standpoint. I don't know. Fox, what do you think? I know you've played with them.
I looked into Raspberries when they first came out, and honestly, like, it kind of got in the way, and I never really went back and on them, unfortunately.
I get you.
But no, I agree that, you know, being able to, you know, throw a lightweight distro on a flash drive, boot from that, and just really make it a lot more affordable. That's a good step.
Well, yeah, I mean, and not having to, you know, keep a whole bunch of SD cards around, especially if you've got old, cheapy flash drives floating around. So, I think it's cool. I think it's going to make them more useful. And the article goes on saying, are we going to be able to do this to the Pi 1, 2, or the 0? And they basically say no. it just can't handle it. But the 3 can, so... apparently they're saying it's finicky, only works with some flash drives, but it's really the Ethernet booting I'm interested in, because that basically turns the Raspberry into the thin client of, I don't know, a couple years ago, and in my mind that is a lot of uses. And then the last thing I have for tonight, also useful when working with Raspberries, I think I've linked to this before, it's called MOBA Xterm. Pretty much it's fancy putty. It runs a contained SIGWIN environment, and you can use it to remote administration of Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever, anything. It supports all the standards. It's got a bunch of built-in utilities. They got a freebie version that has a few limits, and then the pay-for version. Freebie version is fine for, like, everything. So, yeah. It's a nice tool if you weren't aware of it. I'm almost positive I've covered it before. But the one thing with it, it supports skins, and by default, it's got one turned on. Just go in there and tell it no skin under the displays option, because for some reason, the engine they're using to draw the skin slows it way the hell down, so the thing feels like it runs like molasses. Just turn that off and let Windows render everything. It's fine. Runs great. So, I don't know. I know Madman's never messed with this. Fox, you ever played with MobiTerm?
I have not.
The one thing this does over PuTTY is it actually has an integrated X server. So if you're doing remote X applications, it'll just kind of work on a Windows box, which is nice, because if you've ever tried to do remote X through a Sidgwin environment, it is a pain in the behind. So, and it's a quick way to get up and running with a Sidgwin environment. So, anyways, so that's all I've got. Anybody have anything they want to shout out before we close out the show here?
Pretty soon it could be legal to splice human and animal DNA.
Yeah.
Be a rhinoceros for Halloween.
Kill me. Yeah, that's...
Oh, Billy.
No, sorry.
Genetically engineer werewolves.